Welcome back to TV Campfire Podcast. This is podcast number 69.
Whoa. Wow.
Mine's out of gutter. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
I have a full house of guests this week.
Hi, I'm David from Los Angeles.
Peter from Los Angeles.
Josh from Los Angeles.
And Tom from Los Angeles.
And this is kind of unprecedented. Everybody's here in the room, which is very cool.
Yep. Came in the same bus.
The short bus.
The short bus. Yeah. This is all going to be very loud, and you won't be able to hear anything.
Hopefully not. We can see each other, not talk over each other.
Like that stops us before.
Let's go start off with the news. First thing I have is some casting changes for Glee. Cord Overstreet, also known as Lips, because I don't actually know his character's
Fish
name.
Fish Lips.
Has been cut from Glee.
No! Not Fish Lips! I just want to say, like, not that guy!
I'm canceling my subscription to Tiger Beat.
Sam Evans is
the all right.
Oh, Sam. Yeah.
Oh, Sam, right.
Yeah.
Sam.
Yeah.
Somehow I knew that.
Yeah. Or Ken of Ken and Barbie fame.
And then two characters were added as regulars, series regulars, which is Darren Criss, who plays Blaine, and Harry Shum Jr., who plays Mike.
Also known as
Other Asian Kid.
And I don't think I'd call him that.
No, it's Sue.
Yes,
Sue calls him Other
Asian, right, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. All right. The other piece of news I have is that Camelot has been canceled and will not have a season 2.
What is the sound of crickets chirping?
I know. Well, the thing is,
there's a big not caring in this room.
It's kind of weird because it just got added to Netflix, and so I was like, oh, I guess I'll watch Camelot now. And now I'm like, oh, do I need to watch Camelot now?
No.
How many episodes? Don't bother.
I think I saw three
episodes.
Season.
That was okay.
I saw four episodes and was like, I can't take
it. What station? Whatever.
Stars.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was kind of like, and I was hearing mixed stuff, so I figured I'd check it out. Yeah.
It was probably just a placeholder for Spartacus.
All right, so let's start off with the shows. First thing that we have up is that True Blood had their season premiere on Sunday to big numbers. And
oh, how big were the numbers?
Huge.
Really well?
Huge.
Of course they
like
were
five.
Huge.
5+ million.
Wow.
Jeez.
And so what did we actually think of the episode?
I'm just tired of the show. I didn't really care.
I disliked it.
I kind of enjoyed it. I mean, here's Alan Ball does soaps, and this is the season where they're basically saying, we're a soap baby. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do all the soap tricks you're used to.
Okay.
With sex.
I accept your premise. Except that the fairies, regardless of whether you like soaps or not, were absolutely ridiculous.
And the fairy production value was terrible.
The fairies,
it was like
this
fairies
were
show.
It was freaking terrible.
They went to F Mart instead of
F-Mart.
Yeah,
it was
so bad.
It was so bad that I actually was like thinking, is this real? Like,
did their budget get slashed?
And that's probably why, like, I liked the rest of the episode a little bit more because I was like, well, at least it's not the fairies.
Yeah, that's true. I agree.
It was pretty bad.
Gary Cole rocked.
Gary Cole was good,
but then he died.
Yeah, like what was the
Why
point?
Why would you spend the money to get Gary Cole to have him die in the first 10 minutes of the episode?
Not that expensive.
Okay,
but still,
he's a great actor, for God's sake.
Yeah, why have him be gone? You know, like I don't know.
How far does anybody know how far off book they're going?
Oh, I do. Way off book.
Okay,
yeah, it's just
that's kind of what I've been hearing.
They're so far off, I don't even recognize the show anymore.
You know, my favorite quote of the whole episode was Nan from the Vampire Rights League when it says, people are much dumber than, you know, I have statistics. I have research.
People
scientific. People are far dumber than they think.
Right.
Yes.
When they were doing, and I have to say, though, Eric's little on-camera plug was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good.
I totally believe you.
I actually liked his speech interspersed with Bill's speech. That was kind of cool. And I liked how Bill was wearing foundation so he looked more human.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a nice touch.
Only thing that I thought was silly is they were trying to get a surprise that Bill was the king. And I was like, no. First of all, he gave an order to Eric and Eric followed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. It was like he's the king.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, a question, and maybe I missed it. Did we somehow not see? Because I was the finale of last season wasn't Bill about to fight the queen?
Yeah. Yes.
And we just didn't see the battle.
And we didn't see the battle. And
is
then,
did they say she's dead?
Well, she has.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, this starts, Bill's still alive, so obviously she's dead, he's the king.
Yeah, that's pretty
that's
much
the way
so
it
that
works.
Means that actress is now, she's off the show.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because I liked her.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she's
you dead. Liked her?
Yeah, that was the only thing I've liked that actress
Ooh.
In. I usually don't like that actress. Like,
she was good when she was a kid.
Yeah, no, I didn't like her in 13. Like I
no, I'm talking about when she was on Once and Again. She was good.
Oh, I
oh wow,
her.
That's
I
way better.
But I thought as the queen, she was nowhere near good as the guy playing the
oh, I
king.
Oh, I thought
she was. But
she
was.
Terrible.
But I liked that she at least she was over the. I liked that over the topness. So I was like, ah, she's having fun.
Ooh,
you know?
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying she's nowhere near as the actor who played the king. That
oh,
guy
well,
was fantastic.
You can't
but,
beat him.
Oh,
yeah,
you'll
never
be
way
better. He will eat you.
Yeah.
Will,
that's right.
You
why
will never
would
beat
ever
that guy.
You are
ever.
Equals or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah. But actually, I know I liked her. But anyways, so I guess she's gone.
I
yeah.
think so.
Yeah.
I think this season is going to be wildly uneven.
Yeah.
Predicated on who wrote the episode.
Yeah.
I just feel like I've never particularly liked Bill. And I don't know.
He's boring.
I don't know if it's the actor or the character or what's
yes.
going on. It's both.
Both.
He is just so bland. It's
he is.
So just like, I was
yeah.
like, get off my. And then, okay, Suki was very much clear that, oh, it's only been an hour since I broke up with you.
That was
but
so.
It's been a year for everybody else.
Well,
right.
But then, hold
actually,
up.
I kind of like that.
I know.
Oh.
But then she tells him all that and he's about to walk away and she's like, oh, Bill. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
It's like an hour ago, he just betrayed
you.
and then you're like, oh, wait, I'm ready to forgive you already. I was like, someone shoot her.
Okay.
Smack her with
the only there's only one explanation for that. It's Suki. Okay? Suki is an idiot. I'm sorry.
Okay, Suki isn't Bella stupid.
But she's getting there.
But she's not Elena smart.
No,
absolutely
and that's,
not.
Yeah.
I don't
that's
know. Like, there's a part of me that's just like, "Up, oh, Sookie's in trouble. Must be Tuesday."
Yeah. I will say the moment of the episode for me, aside from the vampires trying to seduce the humans into thinking we're not all bad, was when the head of the coven resurrects the bird.
Yeah.
That
oh.
was freaky.
That was
freaky.
Yeah.
And it seems like, okay, these witches, or she in particular,
she knows what
to,
she's doing.
She
yeah.
is up to no good.
And then also, it's like, hey, Lafayette, join our circle. Put your hand in. And as soon as he puts his hand in, everything all the
bam!
Way
up. Yeah, I didn't
yeah,
like
so,
that.
Yeah.
I hated that. Like,
I knew that was going to happen.
I know, no, I agree with you. I knew it was going to happen, but one of the things I liked about Lafayette was he was one of the only just a human.
Right.
I hate that when
yeah.
shows feel like everyone has to have a power now. And I was like, oh,
man.
Yeah.
Now,
that
now all
power.
We got is Tara.
Tara
well,
has the power to
yeah. Actually, I didn't mind Tara's. Actually... That was one of the few premiere things that I was
I
like,
actually,
oh,
yeah.
I
agree.
Tara
the
like,
Tara
yeah.
actually, I like that
she's
reinvented
herself.
Yeah, I
like
Tara.
They ran
yeah.
the steel cage thing on the OC, and I didn't buy it then either.
No, oh, I didn't see the OC.
No,
so.
But I think I like it. I like
and,
Tara being so different.
Yeah, I totally
yeah.
was fine with that.
I like
that
her not
different.
Being a victim. That got a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I agree.
Exactly. That's
yeah.
what I liked about that with Tara. Jessica and Hoyt.
Hoyt,
yeah.
yeah.
Well, that was weird because it starts off as a look, they're a terrible couple, but then they end up laughing about it. So I was
yeah,
like,
no,
all right.
The problem
like,
is,
you know,
she's,
but they're still a terrible couple.
Because
she's
the thing
tempted.
Is, she,
right.
she,
but, yeah,
she basically can't survive
she
off
has
of just
needs.
Hoyt.
Yeah.
She cannot,
right.
because she if she drains too much of his blood, she'll kill him.
Right.
And if he's the only one she's eating off, she's hungry.
Right.
So they got to figure something
it's
else out.
It's a no-win situation.
By true blood alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, especially if you're actually, if she was only drinking True Blood and she was older and had more control, then sure. But she's been surviving off of his blood, so she's not been drinking True Blood at all. She's only been drinking out of him,
mm-hmm.
so she needs something else. And he has to either accept that she needs supplements, some other supplemental
mm-hmm.
person
yeah.
to drink off of. Or they're done.
Speaking
and,
of
Hoyt.
And even if she does get, like, a supplement, Hoyt will never go for it.
Well, not if it was, like, a regular... Like, if it was the same guy over there, I think he would have a problem legitimately.
Yeah,
but if it was random strangers, I don't see the problem, but...
Yeah, but, you know, it's Hoyt. He's still a little old school.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hoyt, how strange was it to see that his mom is taken in...
That was weird.
That was just weird.
Creepy.
That was so weird. And Sam with his new shifter
oh,
group therapy...
Weird.
Oh, right. Yeah, they all turned into horses and ran together.
Yeah.
Part of the thing I kind of didn't like, I mean, I could see why they did it, but I still kind of was eh, is the whole, hey, we jumped ahead X
a year, so this is what everybody. This is the.
It's a reset button, is what it is.
Yeah, it's
which, but actually, that's what I liked about the episode until I saw what they were giving us.
For right,
but
exactly.
But in theory, I was like, "Oh, this is good. This is a good way to get away."
By
from
the way,
all
that's
the
like
bad
the trend coming up for this season. There's like two other shows trying to do the let's jump forward.
Well, let's that.
Huh, I'm not telling you which shows.
Oh, okay.
That's like but anyway, so yeah, I thought it was. Yeah, I mean,
all right. Moving on. I did give my opinion, yeah? I'm letting you guys go.
Yeah,
but
you
all right.
Did. Yeah.
All right, so moving on. Next up is Falling Skies, and it's the third episode. And it was a strange mix for me because I really liked some of the things that happened because a lot of stuff technically happened.
Yeah.
But it was kind of weird because it also felt like nothing happened. And I don't
yeah.
know exactly
it, I felt
how.
Like
it
was strange.
Again, I think this is going to be a show that who writes that episode. Because the rhythm, the story beats weren't bad, but the execution was.
Yeah.
Right, because it's like, they captured
it. It wasn't as strong as the first episode, and I was kind of like, oh, God, is this what it's going to be like?
Yeah,
yeah.
It was like a lot of stuff, like they captured an alien. I was like, oh, that's great.
Woo-hoo. Yeah.
They captured one, they used the advice. They used the advice of that guy, I don't know his name, it's Colin Cunningham's the actor, but they used his advice, they captured one, they brought it in, and they're like, oh, we can now figure out what an alien. I was like, it's great.
Yeah.
That's really.
And I just thought they telegraphed it when they got the kid.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought they telegraphed that too. That oh, the device is linked. Even if you take it off, they're still going to be linked to the alien.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know if that was. Well, I guess it didn't.
Well, I think that's what it's ultimately going to be because there's still pieces of it in him.
Right. It's still connected to his neural system.
Yeah.
But and that was actually the most exciting thing. Like when the kid opened his eyes, I was like, oh. And then the episode ends. But
and the Steven Weber thing didn't.
Oh
work
no!
For me.
No,
it
didn't.
Not.
It didn't work for me at all.
It's like you shouldn't need to retcon
it was,
in episode three.
It was too much manufactured drama
well,
for that.
But still,
well,
it was too
to,
much retcon for episode three.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that trips me out about it is that it was the entire conversation was explaining to the audience what happened, and I'm like, well, why are we having this conversation instead of seeing?
So
yes.
Wait. So just as for nerd speak, retcon is basically
retroactive
previously
continuity.
On blankety blank. That's what retcon is.
It's retroactive continuity. But the thing is, this is episode three.
You don't need
You to... should have shown this, not have the
hey, guess what happened? The aliens invaded.
It's like, hey, remember how I left you high and dry during the invasion? That sucked, didn't it?
Yeah, it was so bizarre.
Remember the time?
And you guys aren't missing the only thing that I remember that I liked in the episode. It was the only moments that I thought even though it's a nothing moment, but it reminded me because it's Graham Yost is the Justified guy is one of the producers, right?
Yeah.
Is the scene where the guy they have captive complains about the food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was the only scene where I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. I'm assuming he's trying to play them. I like that actor. He's kind of... Mm-hmm. That was it. That was all the other stuff you guys are talking about on paper is interesting, but I just didn't care about
the
execution.
Yeah, the execution.
But the actor,
was not
the
that
other,
great.
The actor, the complaining when he's like, "What do you put paprika or put paprika?" I was like, "Oh, that's kind of funny."
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
But
that
was it.
Funny.
That was the only scene that I was like, "Oh, that's kind of a good scene."
And I agree. I like that scene because it's like,
My other really quick complaint is they already had a motivation to chase after the aliens because the brother's captured.
Right,
they had to go find the brother.
Yeah.
Why would they also kidnap the girlfriend?
Yeah.
That's
extra. I didn't get that.
That's like,
and
what is with the extra motivation?
You gotta give the kid.
Here's the part that really bugged me. When they're doing their scouting mission, and the one guy, the other guy, notices his son in the group completely breaks out, runs out, grabs the kid, draws all this attention to him. I'm like, were you not told what we had to do?
Well, the thing is, these are civilians. They're not military.
Yeah, I understand that, but still, to just completely lose it like that, no.
But you have to, you cannot rescue Noah Wiley's son in episode three.
I understand, I agree with that. And that was fine, but to have him just like barrel out like that just seems so wrong to me.
It's just, again, execution. The story was fine, the execution was not.
It really reminded me of like, and I know I'm sure it's not related, but like when did everyone see Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Like Walking Dead was only six episodes, and I liked the first three or four. The way it bottomed out, I was like, it almost feels like Falling Skies are like, oh, those last couple episodes of Walking Dead, let's do that. Like it feels like they're trying to do things that are to move the plot forward, but I'm not engaged. And they feel really, really ridiculous, and I'm missing what I like. The reason I'm using Walking Dead is they're both kind of a post-apocalyptic.
Right. Yeah.
But the first few episodes of Walking Dead, I was very like, oh, I really like this, and I guess that's what's
But
weird.
But
like,
I've never been that way in Fallen Skies. And it's episode 3.
Right. Yeah.
That's a problem, Tom.
No, I agree.
I've only seen the first, the pilot of both of those shows, and I think they are very similar. I like what Fallen Skies did to establish a lot of elements that they can play on later, and it's a lot of interesting stuff. I haven't seen the third episode, I like how they started out. I think a couple things about the first episode that I thought were, there were only a couple moments of humor, and I liked those moments. I wanted a few more of them.
There's an introduction of a guy you haven't met yet who actually supplies the humor very much. So.
The alien killer guy that John Pope. I met him in the second episode.
Oh, so you did see
second
that?
Part
yeah.
of the, second part of the pilot. The second
okay.
Part of the pilot.
Yeah. Technically episode two, but
he's really funny. He's the guy that brings.
Yeah, I like him.
Right, and there were a couple of questionable things that I didn't like about the way why would this happen? This doesn't make sense to me. But I mean, that's any show is going to have that. So
yeah,
I like it.
I just fear for them stumbling out of the starting gate so soon. They should have hit it hard because Walking Dead, that first episode was amazing.
Well, I mean, I think the pilot for Falling Skies was good. I was engaged.
Episode one?
Yeah, I was.
But they blunted the impact by running episode two with it.
I don't know. I still like the second episode
with
two.
That because
I did really good.
I liked episode two because they introduced that mercenary.
He's my favorite
good.
Part of the show.
I think they would have been better off putting a lot of those plot elements from two into the pilot. Because episode one was just kind of eh.
But I don't know. Well, we're talking about three, and three was not as good as the pilot.
No.
But it's still the third episode, so I'm not quitting on the show.
I'm not quitting at all. No.
So all right.
It's still definitely got my attention.
All right. Let's move on. Next we want to talk about White Collar. And this week's episode was
Mozzie's story. Yay!
It's Mozzie's backstory.
Who robbed $500,000 from the mob at the age of 12?
Of course, it's Mozzie.
It's Mozzie.
That is fantastic.
And we finally discover the origin of
Mozzie,
of the name Mozzie.
I was like, he named himself after
his teddy
bear.
That is
that.
So cute.
I love that.
And I sort of felt like I wish we had seen more of Ernie Hudson than just that last scene.
Yeah, it's like they show a picture of him, and then he has one scene at the end.
Yeah.
But when you cast somebody like him, I have a feeling we'll be seeing him again.
I really hope so, because I love Ernie Hudson, and I think he'll be great as, like, Mozzie's mentor.
He's like Mozzie's dad, really.
Mozzie's dad.
He's the only person I've ever seen Mozzie actually respect.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. And just like, I feel like if he told him to do something, Mozzie would just go do it.
Yeah.
You know?
And like their first meeting, the first scene we have with him, they have a quote off. It's brilliant.
That is where Mozzie got it from.
Yeah.
I'm
totally digging this season.
Yeah.
And again, it's When a series is dependent on the writer to maintain the quality of episode to episode, that's bad. And the fact that we're like episode four now of season three, and they're all strong, that's a good thing. I mean, it shows that the showrunner knows what he's doing.
White Collar has been a good show from right out of the gate for me.
Right.
Like, there have been very few weak episodes as far as I'm concerned.
The only thing I've ever disliked about it was the overall arc with Kate.
I thought that
was stupid.
They could not blow her up soon enough for me.
I agree.
Right. But after she got blown up, everything was good.
Yes.
And they also figured out that people love it when Peter goes undercover, because next week he's going
undercover.
Awesome. Yes.
I really like
that. I love when Peter goes undercover.
Oh, and then that fight that they had at the, where they were supposed to be like, I'm going to fire you, and they have the fight.
Yeah.
I love the stuff they were saying about each other.
That was so weird, because it was like the truth.
They were finally getting it out. Like, they were finally like having it out, and it was a total undercover conversation.
But then it was just weird. He was like, and I'll take your wife. And he was like, what?
Yeah. I know. I feel like Neil just threw that in. It's just like a little jab.
But it just seemed like they were having a very honest.
It was a cheap shot. I'll give you that.
Everything that they were saying to each other, it was exactly how they really
the
feel about each other.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I'm going to go steal your wife too. And he was like, wait a minute, wait.
It's like, what are we doing here?
Oh, we are role playing.
is that part of the fake conversation or part of the real conversation? I don't know what's happening now.
But I just love that the characters are well written, the plots are interesting. and it's smart.
Yes.
It's so, because there's a lot of dumb TV on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah, White Collar is such a welcome relief because it is smart TV.
Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, it's not super, super deep, but it's fun.
It, yep. It's fun, it's smart, it's got great characters. I love it.
All right, thumbs up this week's.
Yes.
Very quickly, I want to talk about Nine Lives of Chloe King because I gave it a very bad review last week, and I thought this week's episode was much better. And your big complaint was the sidekicks. However, there was very little of them this week.
Oh, but we had that huge scene with Amy singing in the coffee shop, and I'm just like, kill me now, for God's sake.
But at least she was away from the action.
Yeah.
She had nothing to do with the main plot.
This is true, but they just kept cutting back. Yeah. They kept cutting back to her and that insipid song and Paul's completely emotionless staring at her.
Well, that's because we found out he was sticking himself with a spork to pay attention.
And she was okay with that.
He was crying.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because he was sticking himself with a spork.
Right, but it wasn't emotionless. He was crying. I thought he was... You know, being emotional.
Why was he sticking himself with
the spork? So that he could cry and show her that he liked her song.
So he didn't laugh, is what he said.
Oh, yeah, because he was trying not to laugh.
So he stuck himself with a spork.
Are these the side characters of Chloe, her two friends?
Yeah.
Actually, I kind of like Paul. Paul's the one who's all, like, geeked out about the powers. You like him?
No, I don't like him because he is...
I kind of don't mind him.
No, he's too much of a manufactured nerd. I don't believe him as an actual nerd.
Yeah, I mean, yes, you are right about that. But I guess I don't mind it because it's an ABC Family show. So I guess I'm going
standards
well,
are lower. Yeah,
but,
you know,
at least they have that kind
of. But aside from the sidekicks, the actual story this week was pretty good. Where they finally introduce her to some other Mai. They introduce her to the leader of the Mai in that city because she's like, I've requested. It's like. The leader of the Mai has requested an audience with you. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't want to go. She's like, oh, well, she can come here if you'd like. She's like, okay, I'll go to her. Because she didn't want her mom or anybody to know. Because we're doing the goofy Buffy thing where her mom can't know.
I do like it that everyone else knows, though, at least.
Yeah, that's true. So she goes and meets the leader of the Mai. The leader of the Mai tells her, you know, a little bit.
I wasn't
that
impressed with her, I gotta say.
Well, that particular actress, when I saw who it was, I was like, oh.
Who is it?
I can't think of what show she used to be on, but she used to be on a show that I really didn't like her on. And I can't think... it was bugging me. I couldn't figure out what it was, but I've seen her on something else, and I hated her on it.
She just seems seems like the kind of actress who doesn't play characters like this and really doesn't know how to fit into that role.
She whatever it was that she did before... I feel like I'm letting my audience know, because I can't remember
Amy
what it is.
Amy Pietz, is that her Pietz?
I don't remember what her name is.
Oh, from Caroline in the City?
I didn't see her on that. Yeah, no. she has very dark hair.
Yes,
but I didn't see her in Caroline in the City. That wasn't it.
She's done a lot of stuff. She was on something more recently.
But anyway...
Is she older?
No,
she's probably late 30s, early 40s.
Yeah, 30s.
But she's basically being the leader of the Mai. The girl that got stabbed in the pilot is her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically are just... They're telling her, Chloe, like, okay, look... You're very, very important. You're important than any one of us. And she's like, all of your lives are more important than any one of our lives. So we'll do whatever we have to protect you, blah, blah, blah. And they basically were talking about, if we can't get rid of the assassin, we're going to have to just take you away and put you into hiding.
Yeah.
And she was freaking out because she didn't want to leave home, blah, blah, blah. But it actually had some really good, I thought, interaction and drama. And she was trying to figure out what was more important, endangering her family and all this other stuff. So it gave some pretty good issues.
It was a very Buffy kind of internal struggle with her.
Yeah, and only thing that I called stupid on was when the assassin calls her, is like, meet me alone or else I'm going to kill people you care for. I was like, you have an army now. Now that she's with the leader of the Mai, she has access to an army of Mai.
Well, like, the thing that bugged me was, like, she gets the call from the assassin, and he calls her from her mom's cell phone, which, of course, freaks her out. But then immediately, as soon as she's done that conversation, she calls home to make sure her mom is there.
Right, which was
good. Which she was.
Yeah,
which
that was a
smart,
good call.
Which was smart, but then she went and met him anyway.
No, she meets him when he shows up at the friend's singing thing.
Oh, yeah. So, well, I'm like, you know what? Go ahead and kill her. I don't care.
Seriously, Amy needs to die. I really thought that... she did the smart thing by calling home, which I thought
was very smart.
And then immediately followed it up with, he basically showed, I can get to any one of your family, any one of your friends anytime I want to, so the only way to end this is to show up and fight me, but come alone. And I was like, you have all these Mai who are here to help you, willing to die for you. No, you should tell him you're coming alone. and then freaking show up with an army. Yeah. You know, like
I've only seen what, three of them, right?
No, there was like a bunch. There was more than that.
Because
the when the mom or when the leader of the mob was there, she sent a bunch of other ones. They all came to the house, and then she sent a bunch of them out to go hunt the assassin. So there's a bunch of them. So all she had to do was make that call and be like, "Look, only thing is they might not have let her go to the meeting, and that would have been."
I think they're playing on her novelty, her not knowing her place in the organization. Yeah, and she doesn't know that she should do that,
that's perfectly fine. The one thing that I really did like was when she finally meets the assassin, how he decides to deal with the rest of her lives.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty cool.
that was freaky.
Like, tie her up in chains and then throw her underwater so that she drowns, comes back, drowns again,
It was like least effort on his part. He was like, I was trying to figure out how to kill you 8 more times. He's like, nah, just tie you up and throw you in the water.
Yeah, but like
and like part of me is like, that is the most hellish death I've ever heard of.
But like all TV villains, he waits too long to do it.
Of course.
Because he has to talk to her about
it. Well, yeah, he's got a monologue. He is a villain after all.
What happened if they just cut her head off?
I don't know.
Highland.
You're thinking way too deep about this.
Yeah, because I'm like,
it's ABC family.
Or blow to bits. I mean, like, you know.
What if they disintegrate her? Huh? What then? Didn't think about that, writers of Chloe King, did you, huh?
All right. Anyway, I thought this episode was better than last week, so I'm back into the show now, so thumbs up.
I'm still going to give it a little bit more of a go, but.
Yeah, me too. I'm a little disappointed. I don't have high hopes for it, but we'll see.
The next show I want to talk about is Necessary Roughness. I want to talk about it really quickly. I don't know did anybody get a chance to watch it?
No.
Nope.
So it's just me. I watched it and it was okay. I don't want to sound, I don't know how to describe this, because it was, I'd say, okay, it's mediocre. How about that?
Okay.
Ooh. It was the main story with the woman and her breakup with her husband was pretty standard, and they got that done in like the first 10 minutes.
Okay.
So they introduced her to her family, introduced her to her husband, and he's an idiot, and he's been sleeping around. She breaks up with him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she needs money.
She broke up with him.
Well, yeah. And so she needs money, and she meets Riley. What is that man's name?
Oh, Mark Lucas.
Mark Lucas, yeah.
She meets him on her, I'm getting back out into the world. And he actually was very charming. I was like, why was he not charming in Buffy?
I think he can be charming when the situation calls for it. Not in Buffy, but in other situations.
I think the biggest problem on Buffy is he wasn't Angel, and everybody's like,
no, that wasn't the problem because I hated Angel, so that wasn't my issue.
That wasn't the problem for me. It was just he was kind of bland in Buffy.
We're off topic.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so he was very charming in here, and I actually really like him on here. And her relationship with him is pretty cool, and that's how she gets her gig as the therapist for the main guy, not the whole football team. Basically, they have a problem child, the guy, he's the star of the team, and all of a sudden he can't catch a ball, and he's going on this whole self-destruction path thing.
Eggs from True Blood season 2.
Yes, that's him.
Okay.
And it's, that was actually pretty good. Like, I got sort of invested in their relationship. So it kind of weirdly felt like that should be a movie. Like this whole thing.
What's episode 2?
Yeah, I don't know. And that was the thing is that relationship got really good for me and I really enjoyed it. And I was thinking, what are we going to do for the second episode? Because she doesn't exactly heal him entirely, but she makes this huge breakthrough. And I like their chemistry and I like them working together. But then at the end of the episode, they were like, since you did such a great job with him, we're going to open you up to, we're hiring you on for all the other team members. So now they basically said she's going to still be talking to him, Edge guy, but they're going to bring her new clients, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not sure how I feel about that. And the other thing is her family sucks. Like, we have to now spend time with her. Her son's not bad. I think her son is kind of funny. Her daughter is on this whole, I want attention because you broke up with my dad, and so I'm gonna skip class and I'm gonna steal a car and crash it and get arrested by the police, and I'm like, oh my god, just kill her.
I'm already out.
Yeah, it's like the daughter is just so But they did a slight redeeming thing at the very end. The daughter was like, oh, maybe I was a little wrong, and Yeah, but I'll watch the next episode and see how much ratio we have. Like, I'm kind of curious, like, what the heck can they do for the second episode? Because the first one, it was good, but I don't see... It doesn't seem like it's a repeatable sort of situation.
Okay.
So I'm kind of... But I like the... But I like the actress. She's good.
Yeah, she's very good.
So, it's a... Eh. It's
okay.
It's an okay pilot. It wasn't... Eh. It wasn't straight out of the gate, blow me away. Mm-hmm. But... I'll check out the second.
I think it's interesting that USA is having problems finding a new female-driven show. Because the one with...
Covert Affairs?
Fairly Legal.
Fairly Legal.
No, they got a season two, but they're going
to... But it bombed,
but
though.
They're going to... Well, it did okay, but not great.
I liked it.
But they're totally retooling.
Everybody's gone except for the lead.
Yeah.
Everybody
was saying... Not the assistant...
I hope not the assistant, but
yeah,
he was great.
Oh, the assistant's awesome.
Has USA ever had a good show with a female lead?
In Plain Sight's probably the closest
thing. Yeah, In Plain Sight, I really like that one.
But, yeah, it's really interesting that they're trying, but they're not hitting it with...
Hmm.
All right.
It's fascinating.
Okay. The next USA show is Suits.
We got a lot of USA shows
now. I loved episode two.
I did too. Suits is now... I what's interesting is I had my TiVo and I had all my Thursday shows recorded... And I looked at the whole list, and I was like, "I'm gonna watch Suits," and I watched Suits first.
Okay,
it was.
I meant to watch it.
And part of it is the
newness. Yeah,
it's part of it is the newness of it. Mm-hmm. It's a new show. It's got new characters, and I kind of really wanted to see where they went from the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a great job.
Oh, cool. I didn't expect it to be what it is, but I like what it is. It's actually entertaining.
Yeah. It's not what you think it was going to be.
No, but
it's really good.
How I felt from the pilot. I still want to see episode two.
It's basically the power play between Harvey and the other guy. What's that other guy?
Harvey and
Lou.
Yes, Lou.
Okay.
Lewis. They both want to be partner, but Harvey got it, and so now Lewis is trying to sabotage him, but in a kind of petty and underhand. Basically, he's trying to steal
Mike
from him.
Oh, okay.
But basically doing stuff where giving Mike orders that counter Harvey's orders, but he's standing right, like Harvey's off doing whatever.
Right.
And Lewis is the one who's there. And he's standing over him, countering Harvey's orders and saying, it's like, Harvey told me to do this right now. And he's like, he hangs up the phone for what he's trying to do. It's like, well, no, you're going to do this with me because I'm standing right here and I'm going to get one of the other interns to do your job that Harvey gave you while you go do what I want you to do.
Huh.
So it's and he got him in some really compromising positions, doing some really
bad stuff. That's cool because like we had that first conversation between Harvey and Lewis in the first episode where Harvey basically says, "Listen, you're a bully. I'm a charmer."
Right.
And it's cool that they're playing.
And he really is bullying. Mm-hmm. And I like that in this week's episode, Harvey has a conversation with Mike and tells him. You know, he's like, well, he had a gun to my head. He basically said, you know, blah, 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 he had a gun to my head. I couldn't do anything. He's like, well, what do you do when someone has a gun to your head? And he's like, well, you do what they say or they shoot you. He says, no, you have several options. And he basically was breaking it down. He's like, if someone has a gun to your head, you can call their bluff.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose to do what you were going to do anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, he's like, there's all these things you can do. You don't have to do what they tell you. If they have a gun, that's not your only option. You have to think bigger than that.
Huh.
And Harvey actually ended up in a situation where he had a gun to his head,
uh-huh.
and he totally dealt with it.
A literal gun or a figurative gun?
Figurative.
Okay.
A judge basically was screwing with him. This judge basically thought that Harvey had slept with his wife, Harvey hadn't, but the wife had told the husband that he had. And he was like, why would you tell your husband that I slept with you? Like, what? But it was great, and I liked how Harvey dealt with that in a really good fashion.
One of the things I really liked about the structure of the episode is the A plot and the B plot had the same theme. What do you do when you have a gun to your head?
Right.
And we got to see how the two guys approached it.
Oh, that's
and
very
Mike,
cool. Yeah.
Being the protege,
uh-huh.
botched it,
right.
and Harvey being the Jedi Master,
exactly.
knew exactly how to play it. And Gina Torres is the wild card in this equation.
Yeah.
That's why I love her.
But I love the way they structured the series in terms of you basically have Mike as a pawn between these two rivals at this law firm.
Right.
Gina Torres as the boss is the wild card.
Right.
You don't know which way she's going to
You don't know who she's going to side with. Yeah.
And plus, the people who wrote the series know how business works in terms of hierarchy, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, because what Lewis was doing, even though he's a sleaze and slight, more than slightly unethical, mm-hmm. still, he's...
He pulled in an account.
Yeah.
He pulled in, like, $50 million
account.
He pulled
in an account.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was, but I like the fact that Mike then flipped it on him and took away the credit.
Yeah.
Oh.
He didn't take away the credit. You screwed me to get this, so I'm going to screw you, right. So you can't have it.
Right. It was pretty good. They had a nice, Mike and Harvey had a really good conversation about loyalty and what it meant and how they both screwed it up.
Huh.
Yeah, so it was cool. Good. Cool. I definitely
want to check out episode 2.
And I love the way that they've used some of the women on the series, too.
Oh, right, the paralegal.
That they're not just Girl Fridays. They are.
Yeah. I love that paralegal girl. What's her name, Rachel or something?
I don't remember
her name. I forget the character's name, but I like the character.
I just love the fact that she's a paralegal who has an office with a view.
Yeah, and she's smarter
because
than
she's
half,
so good at her job.
Yeah, she's smarter than half the lawyers.
Yeah.
So she's great. All right, next we want to talk about Burn Notice, this week's episode.
I love this week's episode.
This week's episode, at first, what's weird is my first thought as I was watching it was I hate the whole CIA aspect of the show. I don't like it.
And I love how they're getting out of it every week.
Well, I mean,
or finding ways to work around it.
They still, well, the first episode, the whole mission was a CIA mission.
Right, right, right.
But this week, it was Michael was supposed to do something with the CIA mission and a bigger plot. Jesse came with a bigger plot or a bigger thing for them to do.
And I was just glad to see that they weren't writing Jesse out.
Right, that's true. Jesse was back and he was wearing a very lovely
nice suit.
Woo!
Working that suit.
it was really nice suit. So, and considering that Jesse is normally wearing like jeans and a t-shirt, you know, it's a big deal. So I thought that I was actually like really upset that we were doing another CIA thing up until
he pawns it off on Fiona.
He pawns it off on Fiona, and then it's actually more about Michael and his mom. And holy
crap. The way they did that was because I've always wondered, I always knew that the father was a big sort of Damocles hanging over their head. Just
right.
The things they've dropped, and this is the episode where, like, holy crap.
They really dealt with it this week.
Holy crap.
Because Michael doesn't look like his mom, so obviously he looks like his dad.
Yep.
So the moment where she's going undercover and he's like, "Well, I'm gonna if you go in that room, I'm gonna have to be really mean to you." She's like, "Oh, that's fine." He's like, "No, you don't understand. I'm gonna have to really be mean to you." And she kind of blew it off, and he just flips and turns into this guy. He's jerking her around and yelling and screaming at her, and he's pushing her. And she has this look of, like, total deer in the headlight shock.
Sharon Gless better get an Emmy nom.
It was fantastic. And you realize that he's the only person that he has to go off of is
his dad. Yeah.
So he's channeling his father, dealing with his mother, who was basically
terrorized
and beaten by her husband for however long they were together. And to watch that dynamic was...
So
uncomfortable.
And the way they let it unfold, where Michael or Madeline would say something, and Fiona or Sam were like, "Huh, huh," and they're like blowing it off until she finally. I mean, it was like a perfectly written and executed. She's like, "Bing, bang, boom."
Everything. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Even if
the plot was pretty much like we've seen it before, it doesn't even matter.
For this, it wasn't about the plot, it was about the character. Characters
matter. It was the character development in this
especially
movie.
In USA.
Characters
right.
welcome,
you.
Baby.
Thank you. But it was just the character development on this particular episode blew my mind.
Oh,
it was the best that they've done
in forever.
I
love that look she gave the dude, the Asian dude, which is like, "Yeah, I scammed you, son."
Oh, yeah, yeah, once it was over.
She just gives him like,
she slowly takes out her cigarette and just kind of leans against the car. And then his mom, like, then Michael, like, gives her a gun. And then Sam comes and kisses her.
If he moves, shoot the good leg.
Right. And then everybody comes because basically the guy that they captured thought that she was on his side because they were terrorizing her, and he thought that she was his ally. And then once he gave the information, she very quickly just flipped and became very cold and very much like, "Yeah, totally played you. And I have this gun, and I will totally shoot you." It was good, but what?
The most important part, the tag.
The tag. The tag. What happened
with Michael and Fiona?
Oh, right. Fiona's moving in with Michael.
Well, she hasn't said yes yet. But
she's going to say yes.
Well, I was starting to wonder, though.
Her whole thing when she was looking for apartments and wanted his opinion was because she wanted to move in.
I know. But so, just, again, the way they played... The thing that's interesting about Michael Weston as a character and Jeffrey Donovan as an actor is you don't know what he's thinking. Because he's been a CIA agent and
right.
is now back to being one, those guys are basically sociopaths on our side, theoretically.
But yeah, the theoretically.
Well, he's a pretty nice sociopath, then.
Yeah.
No, but
sociopaths are nice. That's the point of them.
Well, I don't think that's a correct statement.
I'm not a sociopath.
They're social. On TV.
But no, it's just... and I keep thinking, Grant Show, dude, the years have not been kind to you.
Just oh, that guy, yeah.
The CIA, Michael's CIA contact.
Right.
I just wonder how long are they going to tolerate this? Like, either you work for us, or you work for you.
I figure that's going to be the driving
point. The mid-season cliffhanger.
That's going to be the thing where they're going to make him choose. All right, so that's it for Burn Notice. Thumbs up. This was one of the best episodes they've had all season.
But out of the two
that
they've
had. Out of the two that they've had?
Hey.
All season.
It would have made a better premiere.
I agree. Now we come to the section that deals with the poll that we had where we're going to talk about old shows and new shows. The first is we're going to talk about Community and we're going to talk about Babylon 5. So we watched three episodes of Community. I kind of want to talk about them as a group, I guess, versus individually, but we can kind of talk as a whole.
Okay.
So we talk about the show and then mention specifics
why don't we at least start with which episodes we watched.
Ah, which was the season premiere of season two.
Anthropology 101.
And then I don't know the titles. If you know the titles, tell me the titles.
And then we watched the third episode, which was... The Psychology of Letting Go. And then the fourth one, which...
Aerodynamics,
the one where they were doing the fake launch.
They were basically goofing on the right stuff in Apollo 13.
Yes.
Right.
And KFC.
Okay.
And KFC.
Yes. That was so
was that
awesome.
Product placement or was that just
That's
kind of the joke of the kind of
It was pretty good.
Here's my frustration with Community.
Starting out of the gate.
Okay.
I like the show a lot, love the cast, but the parodies, the movie parodies, I think a little goes a long way. I wish they would trust the cast and the
writers. I would agree. I kind of see your point.
They go to the well too many times.
Okay. I mean, my favorite episode.
Hold up. We're only going to... the only reason I'm bringing us out of the overall discussion of Community is because I have only seen these episodes. I have not seen everything else. So I cannot discuss with...
when you brought up the thing about the
right stuff,
the Apollo 13 right stuff KFC episode.
Am I the only one that's only seen those couple episodes?
Probably.
Yeah,
probably.
I've seen all of them.
Probably.
You should watch them all.
I've seen.
Okay.
It's just they.
I thought you were going to bring them to me.
Oh, it's still downloading. It's taking forever. Yeah, but I will. Yeah.
They do those episodes a lot. I mean, and when I say a lot.
I sort of feel like it's the opposite of Glee, where their themed episodes are terrible. With Community, their themed episodes are brilliant. I love them.
I didn't like the Dungeons and Dragons.
I love the Dungeons and Dragons episode.
We're talking about three specific episodes.
Okay.
Please.
But in general, the show, when it does that, I think it's great. I think they do a lot of it, but...
We're talking about the show.
It just
reminds me of Family Guy.
Yes, it does.
I think as long as they go 110% with something like they do with some of the episodes we've already brought up, I think I'm okay with it. My problem is more in certain episodes if they have something that's kind of deliberately theme or pop culturally and they don't quite go with it, but they think putting that in it is just enough, then I would agree. Then I'm like, that's okay.
It's gotta be,
you know,
it can't just be sprinkled on top. It's gotta be the whole
thing. I mean,
thing.
Of the three episodes we just watched, one of my favorite, one of them might be my favorite episode ever for Community, which was the Psychology of Letting Go.
Great
which
episode.
Really isn't your criticism.
Yes.
To me, sitcoms are... I'm a huge sitcom person. Like,
Libby is like a one-hour drama person. I'm a big sitcom person. And so to me, if you really like the characters on any sitcom, the best episodes in general are usually if you pit the characters against each other.
Yes.
And
yes.
Having Britta
yes.
and Annie go against each other
yes.
because
yes.
of the oil. That is, and having the whole, like, when
Pearson, his mother's,
well, no, that's, no,
yeah.
no, that's great, too.
That,
I always,
yeah.
I always forget, there's three women. What's the other woman's name?
Shirley.
Having Shirley through most of the episode, she's like, you know, oh, having fun in pairs, you know, because she's not invited.
Yeah.
So even her, she's also angry.
And
you know,
the
like,
best part
but
was the Abed's in the background part of that.
With the pregnancy thing?
With
that's
the, yeah,
right, which will
the
pay off later.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
great,
yes.
too.
A running gag where you don't even notice it unless you're paying attention to the
yeah.
background.
Yeah, that's great. And then, yeah, the Chevy Chase thing is great, too.
Oh, I love that. Like, how he is just so unwilling to accept the idea that what he's believing is complete crap.
The Energon or
yeah.
whatever.
Yes.
Oh, and then you've got Jeff Winger. Is that also...
That's where he finds that he's got high cholesterol.
Right.
And,
it's like, wait, did I just tell you you have AIDS? Because I've done that before.
Well, that's great. That got
Patton
Oswalt's
great.
He's
that
great.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
I have to say, having only seen the couple of episodes... The oil slick part I really didn't like.
I really
did not like that because I felt like they were very bland and very stereotypical.
They're pandering.
That's the point.
When you watch the show a lot, you know that they do that for a comic effect because they're saying, you know,
they're playing
this
off.
Is so stupid that people that TV shows do this.
Yeah.
They talk about TV shows a lot. They refer
yeah.
to what they're doing.
It's very much.
That's
the
Abed character.
Yeah.
Especially Abed.
Yeah.
Right.
Which was actually my favorite line of all the things that we watched was in the premiere of season 2 where he was talking to the one, I don't know anybody.
Britta.
No, the guy.
Jeff.
Yeah. He was like, yes, this isn't a TV show. He's like, yes, if it was, then I would be followed. Then the story would make sense, and it would have structure, and I would be following a hero who
right.
actually did all the right thing. But instead, I'm stuck with you.
Right.
And I was like, ooh, that was a really good line.
But
yeah.
is absolutely my favorite character on the
oh,
show.
Oh yeah,
but they're all great characters.
Well, actually, if
yeah.
I have a criticism of the not specific episodes, but a criticism of season 2, I did feel like at the back end, I felt like they really barely used Britta. Britta kind
yeah.
of disappeared, and to me, like again, going to
I agree.
Britta
was
you got to use all of them, and I felt like I was like, wow, they're really not using Britta.
They
that much,
they used
you know?
A lot of the characters, but yeah, you're right. Britta sort of fell off to the wayside a bit in season 2.
And then what was in the anthropology episode, Betty White. Fans
she was good.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah, yeah.
And she comes
yeah.
back. What
yeah,
the, be-
yes.
the best part is the stinger she's in episode 3 where
yeah,
she's
yeah,
talking
yeah.
with the natives about
an
assumption.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That
was
great.
Brilliant.
And then he was like,
brilliant.
Why are you speaking in English?
Because yeah.
oh,
that guy hasn't seen it yet. He's like, what, really? You're kidding.
That was fantastic.
Yeah,
and then she was like, so what was the lesson you guys were supposed to learn with these weapons? It's like, oh, we're all supposed to work together. There is no winner. We're all a team, blah, blah, blah. She's like, no, it's that you're supposed to put all these weapons together
and
you like, need a greater
weapon. And create a super
see?
Weapon.
And it's like, see? And she uses it on him. It was great. I was like, that is what sold me on this show.
Yeah, I really
because
like it.
I had actually tried to watch it before and I was not impressed. Mm-hmm. I had tried to watch...
The zombie episode.
I watched the zombie episode and I was like, eh. And I was, my reaction was like, eh, I don't need to watch the show. And then I think I watched one other episode and I was like, I watched the pilot season 1.
That's
like,
okay.
Yeah.
yeah.
Like,
the first season.
All right. And so I wasn't sold, but I have to season 2 premiere sold me.
Mm-hmm.
So like for that I was like, okay, I can watch the show.
There are
yeah.
things about Community that I really like. The fact that they spoof either a whole episode, they spoof stuff or do an homage or whatever you want to call it, and they throw little things in like when Abed sees stuff. There was one episode where you see stuff as RoboCop with the display and
yeah,
heads-up
yeah.
display. Thing
oh,
like
that's
that.
Great!
Yeah,
yeah.
When he becomes like the Snarkinator or
yes.
something like that.
And there's so many things that they do like that are little references to other things that I love that. And like Family Guy, but to a lesser extent, Family Guy
yeah.
goes, he kicks it to death. He's like
Family Guy beats
you
over the head with it.
He beats
you
over the head and he kicks it to death and plays it on and on. But I love that about Community. Also, I love that there's some juvenile stuff that's not... You know, it's sort of juvenile, but it's sort of like they built the tent city.
Oh, the tent city is
great. Too. Yeah, yeah.
And you know, like the Right Stuff episode, they have the butt flag.
Oh well, that was the Right Stuff episode. I did like the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing, which was great.
Oh,
I also liked what is the man? He went crazy in the episode.
Pierce.
Yeah, he just totally freaks out because he's in enclosed spaces and he's trying to kill everyone. Mm-hmm. And then he has to kill Colonel Sanders because he's talking to him in his head. And like, all that was great. And then they're like, you have to follow orders. This is mission control. And he's like, I'm the captain. He's like, you're the captain because you sat in that chair first. Like, all that stuff was great. And then Ahmed was at mission control, like, giving them directions. And
yeah.
It was very much right. Something that all the people
well,
with their.
Well, yeah, like, that was right out of Apollo 13. And
it
he was Gary Sinise.
Yeah,
that's,
that
they
was
use
Ahmed
to do that. Because he's Mr. you
movie
know
buff.
Mr.
Yeah.
TV buff, and he does
well,
the scenes. He picks up the scenes and plays off the spoon.
Well, the thing with Abed was because he never got to go on that simulator. He researched the hell out of it, so he knew all the intricacies of it.
Yeah, and that was the great. And then
yeah.
the fact, and then he was like, he ran to go put on his astronaut suit and missed it. and they're like, oh my god, are we taking off? He's like, no, we're being towed. Like all that stuff was all really good, and I know I'm missing some of the character. Pieces because I don't really know these people that well, but I have to say, only watching the three episodes, I felt the jerk guy. What's his name again?
Chevy Chase.
No,
Pierce.
No, not Chevy Chase.
Jeff.
Oh, Jeff.
Jeff. Oh, the lead.
That guy. How many episodes can you have? I've only seen like three. How many episodes can you have where he has to be taught the lesson? That his friends are more important than whatever.
I mean, it's not as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
It is a part
yeah.
of the show.
I'd only seen a few episodes and it felt like they beat me upside the head with it. Mm. And this is second season. Why are they
say,
still beating
I mean,
me with
it's
it?
There, but
I just accept that as like one of the central themes of the show. Where
but every
it,
week,
it's best explained.
Jeff is such a D-bag. Of course he would have to get it explained to him over and over and over again.
Why can't you be nice? Why
it's
can't
part
you be
the,
cool
it's
like
part
me?
Of the
yeah.
show that the characters are fairly stereotypical, but they're humanized. They're
yeah.
interesting
I mean,
stereotypes.
Well, it was just weird because I saw the episode where apparently in the finale he dumped the blonde chick. And
oh no,
he
had a little
yeah.
fling with Anne.
He had a fling with her
well,
in the paintball.
No,
episode.
With Britta.
Oh, well,
but then he kissed
well,
Anne.
Well,
yeah. Well, no. First, he
all
had,
I know is he. Okay, and I don't know all that. So, but in the first episode, one of the blonde chick was like, "I love you," and then he blew her off. And there was this whole thing where she became popular and he didn't, and they were doing this whole fake relationship thing to outdo
oh, yeah.
each
yeah.
other.
Right.
And he learned in that lesson. And supposedly he learned the lesson of you know. Be a nicer guy and people will like you.
Well, but that's the thing.
But
is his character is the douchebag that, you know, is really insensitive and selfish and whatever, and he keeps having to learn that lesson because
yeah.
that's what his character is.
That's
overcome
the,
that.
Yeah.
Yes. Just like Abed,
it's
Abed
one of the jokes of the show.
Is
like every it's like Kenny dying in South Park. Every
right.
episode, he has to go through this lesson again.
Yeah, but it feels like that's not character development. If you,
it's not character development.
Yeah,
it's not supposed to be.
Yeah,
it's a
not,
gag.
Yeah, it's comedy doesn't work on character development as much as drama does.
Okay, well,
just
I don't like that.
Okay,
although I would say the irony though is that I mean. I don't know.
Now,
if
it wasn't on Hulu, but there is an episode later on in season two that has really good character development.
That actually sticks?
Kinda, yeah. Like, the don't do drugs skit
oh,
that
yeah.
they do.
Yeah, that does, yeah.
yeah.
But actually, I was going to say what's interesting is that you making that comment is that that's kind of my criticism for 30 Rock is that I do like 30 Rock, but I feel like it's at this point really overrated because... Really, the characters aren't changing at all, and you still love it. The show that I always think you would like, The Office, is all about character development, and you don't like it. That is all. I mean, if you want to see characters change, that's The Office. More than something like Community.
The problem
yeah,
I have with The Office is I don't find anything they do on that show funny. Nothing.
Well,
but I would say
I'm curious to see
yeah.
the dynamic now that James Spader is going to be on it.
So he is for sure.
Yeah,
interesting.
I was correct that someone sent me some viewer feedback and said. He's not playing the boss. He's actually going to be working like in the warehouse.
So who's the
something.
Boss?
I don't
oh,
know.
No.
Oh.
Did that person with the wrong thing?
I think you're right. Yeah. They basically confirmed that he had been added, except for...
No, I mean, he's not
arguing
that
he's not going to be satisfied with Scranton. He wants to be... He wants basically Kathy Bates' job.
Right. That's what he told me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah,
that's,
but I think that he'll be headquartered in Scranton.
But that okay, but that, that's
we're
saying.
Getting off topic.
I got viewer feedback that corrected me that he is not going to be replacing
the
Michael Scott's character. We're still going to get another boss for that.
Okay,
I don't think
good.
So.
Catherine Tate's still in the game.
I don't think so.
No, but I think.
Anyway,
moving on.
But wait, but going back just for a second on Community, you should try the episodes and anybody else who haven't watched Community. I really think they're episodes where they focus on one thing, even though you didn't like the Dungeons and Dragons. The one where Annie loses her pen. Yes. And Abed is like, yes. Oh, that's the bottleneck episode.
That's the best.
It's all going to take place in one room. The entire episode is a clip show
that focuses on clips that were never done.
There's that one too.
That's a separate one. I thought it was the same one.
No, the pen one is all in one room.
Oh, right, that's fantastic. Yeah.
The one you're talking about is also great. The idea of how sitcoms always use clips. And then they're doing clips that we've never seen before. You're like, what's with this?
Yeah.
My favorite was Messianic Myths and Ancient Peoples.
That's good too.
Yes.
Because the A-plot is... Abed's going to make a religious film,
but gets commissioned to make a religious film,
and
he becomes
wildly goes out of control.
Troy's birthday.
But the B plot,
Troy's birthday was good, but let me finish. Okay,
the B plot is basically Pierce starts acting up and starts hanging out with the hipsters.
The old people. But they're actually called the hipsters.
They're the hipsters because they have bad hips.
They have hip replacements. But basically, it's Jeff's realization and admission that he has become the dad figure for their group.
And Pierce has become the villain in season two. He's basically the arch nemesis.
Which is why I love the D&D episode where you're just
I love that. I can't believe you didn't work for that. All right, so anyways, community thumbs up.
All right, cool. I'm interested.
Definitely.
Next up, we're going to talk about the three episodes we watched for Babylon 5. Some of us watched them more successfully than others.
I have to say right now, Netflix screwed me.
That's what I was going to say. we picked a really odd week to do it because this was the week that Netflix took Babylon 5 off of their server.
And put Star Trek on it.
Thank you. But I was like, it's not like they have a finite amount of space. But anyway, we're not going to get on that.
Yeah.
I have, if you have not finished watching, for the people who have seen the show, let's refer to memory. People who have not, will help you with your memory. Or non-memory.
I've seen enough bits and pieces that I can probably stumble my way through the stuff I haven't seen.
Well, because which episodes did you see?
I saw Signs and Portents and about 3/4 of Chrysalis.
Okay. Okay,
I saw the opposite. I saw all of Chrysalis and about 3/4 of the other one.
So you guys can tag team.
Yeah,
but
so
but I didn't see Points of Departure.
I didn't either.
Okay, so you're missing actually the really good stuff, which
I know,
is the new
I know,
captain.
I know.
Anyway, Signs and Portents, each season, I want to just break up. Each season has a title.
Yep.
And this title for season one was Signs and Portents. Because all of season one is foreshadowing. Everything in season one is to let you know in really small clues what the heck is going to happen for the next 4 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And it does a really good job of it. Once you've seen everything, you go back and see season one, and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they told you that.
You can get used to Michael O'Hare's non-acting.
Well, you know, I'm not accounting for that.
Is that Sinclair?
Yes.
That's a very generous way of putting it.
I didn't mind him.
You didn't?
Everyone hated him. The guy's
a slab of wood.
Wait.
That is to insult wood and true crime.
My thing is, when I originally watched Babylon 5, I watched about the first half of season one, and then
got that far.
I could not stand Michael O'Hare anymore, so I stopped watching it.
That I gave up on it too.
I stopped watching the show, and then I heard Bruce Boxleitner was going to be on the show, and so then I picked it up at the beginning of season two. And then I was lost because I was like, who got killed? There's a present. What's going on? But let's just talk about the, go ahead.
Well, here's my story. I watched the pilot, which was terrible.
Which was
awful. And then I watched episodes one and two,
which were pretty terrible also. Yes, I agree.
So I didn't go back. And then I heard the box lightning was on, which intrigued me. And then I caught an episode and I saw these crazy looking Lovecraftian freaky alien ships. And I'm like, And then one of my buddies in grad school was like, dude, you gotta go back. And he had VHS tapes and showed me the key episodes of season one and then two, and then I was hooked.
Yeah, that's pretty much... See, I can't jump back in it, too.
I watched Babylon 5 on, I think, DVD when I moved out here. So this is like the 2000s.
Yeah,
somebody
late,
I worked with was like, oh, check this out. So I just watched the whole first season, but I had no idea about Bruce Black. I was just like, okay, I'll just watch this. But honestly, I didn't... I guess I was approaching it like, okay, the lead guy is wooden... It's a cheesy sci-fi show. I'm not expecting the best thing ever, so my expectations are, let's just watch
but
this.
But the aliens
and then,
are cool.
And then you're right. Yeah. It got much better in the other seasons. That's true.
Yeah.
But I guess I was just kind of going, all right, let's just... the effects are cheesy, but who cares, you know? So I didn't have the issue that you guys did.
Well,
I was just like, all right.
I had issues. But size and portents, I think, is important because it's the introduction of Mr. Morton.
Right.
Mr. Morton. Yes. And it's very...
Now, what is it? Morton? Morden? What
Morden.
Is it?
Morden. M-O-R-D-E-N.
Okay, Mr. Morden.
And
okay.
What's interesting about him is what blows my mind every time, because I've seen the rest of the show, is that when you go back and watch that episode, when he goes around and asks every ambassador what they want, Londo literally seals his fate with his answer.
Yeah.
His answer determines the rest of his life.
Yes.
Just by
what's
that statement. He says that he wants a return to glory. He wants to reach the Centauri Empire to reach their hand out again. He wants,
He basically gives like this big grandiose. I want the Centauri to be the empire it once was again.
Right.
I want to see the Narn
crushed
under
our
heel.
Yeah.
Right. And but it wasn't just being crushed, because Jakar gave a very similar speech about destroying the Centauri.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "Well, what do you want to do after you destroy the Centauri?" He was like, "Nah, nothing. I'm good."
That's it. Yeah.
That was it. Because his vision was so narrow. His vision was just, I want to destroy the Centauri, that's it. I want to eat the marrow from their bones.
Yeah.
But that was all he had. He didn't have anything further than that.
But
Londo
did.
Had
he
a larger vision.
Mm-hmm.
And
although, don't forget, Veer also gets what he wants.
That's true.
which I love the brilliance
which
of
Which is what, a sandwich?
No, but that's later. No, Veer,
okay.
Veer's question, that's a different episode.
Okay.
It's a different episode. It's not the same.
But he is asked.
Yes,
okay.
That is true.
Okay,
that is
cool.
True, but that's a different episode we're not talking about. No spoilers.
Okay.
But it's really, really poignant, and it actually breaks my heart when Londo... Because the thing about Londo is he is not evil, per se, but he gets sucked into these circumstances.
He makes bad choices.
He makes bad
and
choices.
Is held accountable for them.
Yeah, and he's basically, he makes that statement, and they give him exactly what he says he wants.
Yeah, they do.
And it just...
And I have seen enough of the series overall to know, like, where it goes with Londo and where he ultimately ends up, so to see him, like, talk to Morden about that.
Right.
Like it hit me the same way. I was like, oh, this is where it all starts.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah.
That's exactly it. And that's the episode, because Morden is their contact with the Shadows. Shadows are the big bad guys, and that is their first contact. Morden is the face, the human face of the Shadows.
He's the emissary.
Yeah, he's the emissary.
I got that much.
And what's also really good in that episode is Morden's running around talking to the different ambassadors, yet he tries to avoid Kash, right?
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
And then they run into each other at the end of the episode,
uh-huh.
And what they do is like a throwaway line. They're just talking. They go, yeah, for some reason, Kash needs his encounter suit
repaired.
And you realize that there was some sort of fight that happened that we didn't get to see.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, it's very
brilliant.
Subtle.
Oh.
It's very subtle.
It's
wow.
And so, Morden, even though he looks like he's human,
He's a shadow.
No, he is human.
He is human.
Yeah,
he is human, but there's something else that...
Why don't you have him watching The Shadow of Zod?
Because we only have three episodes.
If I were you, I would have done Signs of Importance.
Oh, now we get
departure,
it.
And then in The Shadow of Zod.
You needed Crystalis. You know why you needed Crystalis?
No, you didn't.
Yes, you did.
Because you would have gotten enough from the
season. Well, let's go to Crystalis.
Okay, let's go to
Crystalis. There's a lot of stuff about this show. I just want to speak up because I don't have a lot to say about this show other than it's another show like we were just talking about, the other space station show.
There was another space station show?
What?
It's crazy.
That has a lot of A story. The long arc of the show is really important, and if you watch three episodes, you don't get that.
You're not
going to
get
that. I don't know half the stuff because I've seen bits and pieces of B5 episodes, but I don't really know and have
right.
The characters.
Right, and that's the thing. I don't want you to miss important stuff because you might think it's not important, but I think that's very important to the end, which is the fact that in Crystalis, Garibaldi finds out about an assassination attempt against the president.
And then the president gets killed.
Right, and so and that's very important
because
they tell you very clearly that the vice president gets off at Io.
Yeah,
because
I got that.
And then they tell you that there's some conspiracy. The guy who shoots him, I don't know if you saw the end, but there's a guy who shoots him at the end of the episode that is working with these other guys, and there's this big conspiracy.
But my point is, it's a show with a long arc,
right?
Like Lost,
right.
Which is or 24, where it's so hard to watch one episode and
get
a lot out of
it.
And unless you watch a lot of these shows to get more of the arc, you don't really, or I don't really appreciate it as much. So it's a show. If you want to watch it, watch a whole season.
Well, yeah, don't skip. And
watch the whole season if you want to watch it. So.
Yeah, just watch the whole thing. And what I was trying to do is give like a couple episodes that are like primers so that, one, I think season one is very weak. So if I don't want to tell people watch season one and you'll get into it because that's not going to happen. I don't think so.
Because I tried watching season one when it aired and it didn't happen for me.
And so what my thing is watch the two episodes from season one that I think are important, and then start at season two and watch everything. Mm-hmm. Watch all of season two. Don't skip around. Just watch all of season two.
And that's what I tell people with the other space station show. Except I say start at season three.
When people talk about the Babylon 5 and the other space station show being very similar, when you were just talking about when Londo, this pretty much projects his entire character.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Does that other space station?
Does the other space station actually have Londo?
Is it like
no?
Is it literally
no,
that
no,
much?
No, 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 no.
So it's not them. So it's not really.
It
kind of have a Londo.
Let's wait.
I'm just wondering.
No, like, we'll talk about that off.
Oh,
yeah.
Off
line.
Line. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because anyway, Crystalis, I thought, was really interesting because...
He wanted the Clark assassination stuff.
Because it's very important. That leads to an entire huge arc in season...
I watched up to the presidential assassination, but didn't get the end of whatever Delenn was doing.
Okay, Delenn, her big thing was she got in... The really important thing is Delenn goes to Kosh and says...
Yeah,
you know, she's like, "Is now the time that I have to do this? You promise?" And he's like, "I need you to show me." And so
she opens up. She asks him a question which we do not hear
the answer.
We don't know what
she's
talking about.
Right.
We just know she sees
him. Now I saw that scene.
Where
I stopped with Delenn was when she finished building her whatever that was.
It's the chrysalis.
Oh, okay, that's the chrysalis.
Yes.
Okay.
The thing is, Delenn asks him a question. We don't hear the question. We just hear the answer is yeah.
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 And then later she says,
"You will never see me again," or something like that.
Yes. And then later on, we actually get the question. That happens later in season two.
Okay.
You find out what the question
is. So all these payoffs that are great because you've seen the whole setup are great, but if you don't see the payoff, then the setup doesn't help you.
That's why you should have...
To watch one episode.
You should have had done Signs of Importance, Points of Departure, and then In the Shadow of Zahadum. Because you get so much great...
Now, I think I've seen In the Shadow of Zahadum.
No, I really think you should watch season two in order. I really do. Because
you should watch for a newbie. Whole thing.
You
got to hook a newbie. You can't just say, trust me, it's going to get good.
No. I think that was... Anyway.
Because the revelation we hear about more than that episode, that's cool.
That is.
And that kept me up at night.
But anyway, let's talk about the episodes we're supposed to talk about, which is the other thing... The one thing I thought that was important was Crystalis, which was the whole conspiracy on Earth. There's all these humans that are conspiring.
Right.
You don't know what they're conspiring for or what they have to do with anything.
Mm.
And I thought that's the introduction of that. And I also... Because for me, I had missed that episode and I was... It took me forever to be able to get to see that episode again. And it was
Crystalis.
I missed it because I never watched it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought that was very important.
I mean, I knew something was up even before, like, Garibaldi finds everything out. When I heard the news report that the vice president had to
get off
before they got to Io,
yeah.
I was like, oh, something's up.
Yeah, exactly. And then you get to Points of Departure, which is the introduction of John Sheridan. And I thought that was a very... It was weird because it kind of answers... Because Crystalis ends on kind of a cliffhanger, which Garibaldi is shot, and you don't know if he's going to die, blah, blah, blah. And then... Because
we just had earlier in that episode a guy who got shot and did die.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then Delenn goes into the Crystalis. She goes into literally a cocoon.
Okay.
So Delenn goes into a cocoon, Garibaldi's shot, and then when they open the season... They've sent Sinclair off. Like, you're like, what happened to Sinclair?
Sinclair has been reassigned.
They're just like, it's like Ivanova goes up and she gets a message. She's like, I thought he went to a mission. She's like, yep, he's been reassigned. You're getting your new commander. And Ivanova's like, what's going on? But what I thought was interesting about Sheridan as the new captain is they gave him Sinclair. The Mimbari loves Sinclair.
Right.
For some reason, nobody knows why. The Mimbari love him.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in Sheridan. The Mimbari hate him.
Yeah.
Because he was the only captain who defeated one of their ships during the war, and it was their big flagship, so they all hate him. And so you have this animosity from the Mimbari that we didn't have before, which I thought was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got... He's brand new. He's never been a diplomat. He's never been assigned to a station. He doesn't really know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very much a soldier. You give him a gun, he'll go shoot something,
right.
But he doesn't really know how to do anything else. So I thought his learning curve... was really good. I thought it was a really good introduction of a new character to a situation with characters we already know.
Okay.
And he played it off, he plays it off really well.
Well, it's Bruce Boxleitner.
Well, yes, he does a really good job. Yeah. Yeah. So he is definitely a really good addition to the show. And once he gets added, I was very happy.
I don't know him from anything other than Tron.
And he did How the West
Scarecrow
was
Born. King.
Scarecrow
King.
Scarecrow
King. I've never seen.
I love that show.
I've only seen the pilot of that, but it was great.
Yeah.
Scarecrow Mrs. King?
Yeah, I love that show. Anyway, so I think you guys keep giving it a shot.
My question, which is kind of off topic a little bit, but do we ever get any explanation as to what the Earthman-Bari War was about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You get
good.
All questions will be answered.
Yes. Everything you want to know will be answered, except for the Great Machine on Epsilon 3. That never gets answered.
Okay. Because the intro was always like, the intro was always Sinclair talking about 10 years after the Earthman-Bari War, and I'm like, was that all about?
You actually get to see it. There's an episode called In the Beginning, or there's a movie called In the Beginning.
They show
you the war.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
You get to
and
see
I think I might have seen that at some point, but I only vaguely remember
The war
it.
Is fantastic. It's really good.
Okay.
Anyway, that wraps that up. That wraps up the podcast. Next week, we are doing Star Trek Next Generation, and I don't know what current show we're doing. I gotta look at the poll and figure that out. All right.
Okay.
If you have any feedback, send it to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, and we're on Facebook. See you guys next week.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.